Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to everything on tonight's episode on AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Rampage, Raw, SmackDown, NXT pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a million quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, joined now by Hamflett and Sidgwick to look ahead to Dynamite tonight. The weird sensation tonight, Sidgwick, I was just chatting to Hamflett before we started recording here. It's obviously yet another stacked episode of Dynamite. There's titles on the line. There's the final Labour of Jericho, Sting's last ever wrestling match. But it's surreal because we're all kind of also looking ahead to Friday, aren't we? It's great. It's a fantastic time to be a wrestling fan, but it's also quite surreal, this.
I don't know if this is on purpose or if the events of the narrative have all geared towards this, but Friday's Rampage, the first dance, is going to be absolutely momentous. It is the most anticipated show of the year in their marketing, and with the hype I've got, personally, I'm not disagreeing at present. And I don't know if it's a conscious choice, but this episode of Dynamite seems like way more fun. I know they've got the serious stakes and how long they've built MJF versus Jericho. So it's not like this frivolous dick about before we get to the serious business on Friday and Bucks versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. That'd be fun. That'd be loads of fun. Sting and Ever-Eyes. That'd be classic. I'm telling you now, like, when I found out I was on holiday in Centre Parks, when I found out that Ever-Eyes 2.0 had signed with AEW, I was legitimately about to messages on Twitter saying, "Well, we don't have to do the NXT podcast anymore, do we?" if Ever-Eyes are on AEW now, NXT, we don't really cover main event, so why don't we cover NXT as it is? Staying in Ever-Eyes and 2.0, like, it's just going to be loads of fun, this show. I'm worried about this 7-match format. Like,
yeah, you were saying before we started, this is one of the most match-heavy Dynamites ever.
This is the most amount of matches that I've ever been on a single Dynamite. And if I'm a bit thrown by this, to be honest, I legit thought there were 5 matches on this card before you sent us over the preview and said, "Does everything look okay?" And then I was like, "The hell? Starks versus Cage?" I know, I haven't seen a graphic on Twitter. I haven't seen it promoted. They obviously did it last week. So I've been thrown for a loop. Hamflett, take over before I get too flustered.
There was a similar one to this, wasn't there, about a month ago, where we said we weren't sure how they were going to fit it all in, and they didn't. They dropped the apology, and I think they rushed through a couple of other bits. So I'd like minor concerns over how they're going to get through all of this, because it is a lot. But they are matches, and sometimes matches actually can get done and out of there quicker than certain segments. So this one might run smooth. There's probably not a time for a lot of fluff. I really, really like this card. Really like it. Yeah, as you've sort of said there, Sidgwick, the hype is all centered around Friday, as it should be, realistically. But what an effort they've made to make this Dynamite feel important. This is the total opposite of phoning a show in, which I'm very pleased about, because subjectively, I've found the last few Dynamites to either be to be good, but like slightly inessential, or to have like pretty large missable elements. Last week in particular, there doesn't look like much of anything to go and take a piss break for on this card. And with All Out so close, I'm so pleased that they're giving matches television time that you're starting to feel maybe too exhausted to make it to the pay-per-view. What we're getting here in the likes of the main event and a couple of the undercard matches, and what we've already had on Rampage and probably underneath CM Punk on Friday, is a suggestion that there's still new and interesting things to be announced for the pay-per-view in a couple of weeks. Mm. It's not far away, but they're not going to be short of ideas for it. And I like that. I think like some of the stuff on here is probably better served on television than it ever would be. Giving you that AEW pay-per-view feeling, I think it's a bit too long, this. Too much is too many. Makes me feel like All Out's going to be a slightly leaner show and all the better for it.
Typical as well, isn't it? I take 1 week off and I miss QT Marshall's apology. I've been waiting out for ages. They kept saying it was next week. Oh, he's putting it off next week. Then he comes out. Now he's going to fight Big Show. Is that happening, Hamper?
Speaking of matches for All Out, gotta get QT and Paul White on the card. Aye, that's probably happening. That is probably perfect for a Rampage, quite honestly. Perfect for the short Rampage match, if they're going to do that at all. And it looks like they will.
Anyway, let's look ahead to Dynamite tonight. So just start with the final labor of Jericho. He's gone through the proverbial buzzsaw in recent weeks, of course, to finally get his hands on MJF. And the final stipulation from MJF is no Judas entrance music. It's going to come out to dead silence and no Judas effects. It's only going one way, this, isn't it, Sig?
One would hope. They've invested so much time in this that I expect it firmly to get over really big in the arena. Chris Jericho's recent spate of performances I've found uneven. Like, it was really sort of lively and energetic in the match against Shawn Spears. Like, that was so neat and tidy in such an elegantly told story that elevated, of course, by a white-hot crowd. And the Nick Gage match was class. Hamflet, I will hear no complaints about it whatsoever. Him and Juventud Guerrero got totally lost for 2 or 3 minutes, which has tarnished these labours. And against Wardlow, he just got the piss beaten out of him, so it was difficult to gauge his performance level. But they've been building and crafting this storyline for almost a full calendar year. And in my opinion, well before that, if you look at the various hints that foreshadowed them doing something together, when that became an actual explicit storyline development in canon, pretty much after All Out. Yes, Wilbur?
Did you, you're not surprised that they've taken this to All Out? Or is it maybe I'm getting jumping the gun here and you're going to lay it out for us?
Well, I don't know. They could step up a rematch. I mean, They've certainly invested enough time in this to probably warrant two. But maybe it's a scheduling thing. Maybe it's just the rule of TV nowadays, where you can, in fact, blow things off on television because that's where the most amount of revenue is driven from. So I don't know why they're doing that on Dynamite. I'm happy that they're doing things of this magnitude on Dynamite. And I just really hope that this bangs. Chris Jericho's, I'd be ashamed to call it uneven. He's this age, but then he has put himself in this storyline. But his spate of performances, that Freudian slip might not have been actually, lead me to believe that at this stage of his career, he should not be wrestling weekly because the labors of Jericho, I love the storyline. The in-ring aspects have cooled off since the Spears and the Gage matches. So I really hope Jericho's up for it, but I have to imagine he will be. I'm expecting a nice, basic story elevated by a crowd who are hugely into this dynamic. If you just think about this entire storyline, how much effort they've put into virtually every aspect, the thought out of the box, they've thought with a long-term vision in mind, the dinner debonair, the very intricate chess game between the inner circle and the formation of the pinnacle, this inexplicably great dose of fan service with Nick Gage and Juventud Guerrero, like they've crafted this so lovingly. And I would say for about 80 to 90% of it, I've been on the hook the entire time for ages. It should be reiterated for ages how it's dovetailed across various developments with the Young Bucks and that great tag team match at Revolution. They deserve a major reaction, and I'm thinking that they are going to be bang, bang, bang up for this. If there's any reservations about match quality, owing to the fact that Jericho is what Jericho is in 2021, I really think they're going to smash it here. I've just got a feeling.
Houston, Texas tonight, if I made that up in my head.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
No pressure, Houston. You're going to have to sing Judas with no music. Get together. Have a little chat before you all go into the arena because it could be an absolute car crash, that. But, I mean, we were talking about this beforehand, Hamflet. MJF is undefeated in singles matches. because Moxley cheated, didn't he? He should be world champion, really. Cheated there, John, but okay, fine. Do you see that changing tonight, Hamlet?
Absolutely not. He's got to win. I think some of this story has been really, really good. Some of it less so, but I'm very much ready for it to end. I'm feeling a little bit tired of the rivalry. So MJF getting the win as it's peaking would be perfect. I don't particularly want this to end in a manner that requires an all-out rematch, because that's two rematches on the pay-per-view. And I don't think that's a particularly great look, even though the Omega and Christian one's going to be stepped up now, with, you know, probably title for title. Don't really need two-on-one pay-per-view. And I think I wouldn't have a problem with MJF putting Chris Jericho out of commission here. We've talked before about the possibility of this having like a loser leaves element to it or something. Just because it doesn't have that, it doesn't mean they can't do that. Jericho will be touring with Fozzy at some point. I wouldn't miss him on the Rampage headset, quite honestly. So if he was disappearing now on a stretcher for the time being, I don't think that's the worst way to bring this to a conclusion. And ultimately, this has always been MJF's feud to win too. And I don't necessarily, I know that there's like something to be said for a happy ending to it, and MJF needs to get his comeuppance once in a while, but he's kind of had his comeuppance four times, because this match shouldn't even been going if his labours are successful. So this is where he has to do what he believes others couldn't. It adds a bit of spice to his relationship with Wardlow, because it's like, right, fine, I'll get it done, Shala. You couldn't. You failed again. So it's not like there isn't any meat on the bone after the fact. It's going to be a big win for the Pinnacle at large, because they finally get something conclusive over Jericho. So yeah, I can only hope the match is good. I quite enjoyed their first singles match, albeit I expect the story to be completely different. It was really well thought out. It was executed well enough, but it was more about the like what they were thinking about trying to get across in that match that I liked. And I sense we'll get plenty of that intelligence in the agent in this evening.
I really hope, before we move on, that one of my favourite bits in wrestling is MJF's really quite clever. So when he plays this sort of old school guy who raves against the gymnasts, it's quasi-Cornette stuff, but he knows his audience because this stuff gets in front of him. When he takes a destroyer, it means so much more than anybody else taking a destroyer. When he does like an aerial, which we've not seen in AEW, but I hope we see it tonight. I hope he does the line salt. The key thread is he's taking his spot. They can make that literal with a really exciting high spot in a match that you wouldn't really expect one from. That would be chef's kiss.
I was going to say, is it overbooking for me to suggest that MJF wins via Judas Effect?
Potentially. I mean, that's the key theme of the story here. He is taking his spot, and if they can make that literal in the guts of the match, yes.
Sorry, Greg.
Considering that he is a Judas-like figure, but like based on everything about his character, imagine if he wins and then says, like, monkeys in the truck, hit my music, and then they play Judas and the crowd can't sing along because they'd be singing to MJF.
That would be lovely, that.
Quick nod to Maxwell's Twitter as well. Hard to sleep when you know you're about to absolutely dismantle a beloved wrestling icon and drink the tears of his fans.
That's great.
That's good stuff.
Talking of flippy bollocks, Hamlet, Young Bucks, Jurassic Express, AEW tag team titles on the line. I am not stupid enough to ask, are the Young Bucks going to lose their titles tonight? I mean, Taz did a great job on the road too, suggesting that they may be under threat, but I think Sid just pointed out that we could well be getting Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks at All Out. So, I mean, a close call, but a defense for the Young Bucks here for you?
Yeah, I'm hugely into this, so much so that I'm a little bit disappointed that this is on Dynamite. This is the one sort of exception to the rule of this card, because I would have welcomed this All Out, because I would have believed that a title change might have been forthcoming if that was the case. I think it was when you were off, but we were discussing about Christian beating Omega at Rampage, and the fact that he has done what he said he was going to do, which is mix things up a little bit in the Elite. Kenny lost through heel miscommunication. The Elite have finally been rattled by something, and it's been by Christian, because he can be that creepy little bastard that Jim Ross always called him, and he's got in amongst it and he's kind of messed with their heads a little bit, and that's going to put the Young Bucks on the ropes tonight, and I look forward to watching that. However, in storyline terms, it's okay if Jurassic Express falls short here, because everything that Christian has said he is going to do has come off. It's quite nice if Jungle Boy doesn't quite make it that far. It's another way for Christian just to ever slightly needle him. Hey, you're doing good, kid. Next time, one day you'll get a belt just like I've done. You know, it's all quite nice for that relationship as it simmers. And the match should bang. Of course it should. We've had this match before, haven't we?
All Out.
at All Out, but the manner in which Jungle Boy especially has come on in that time, or it feels at least like he's developed in that time, tells me that this should be substantially better and different. The way the Young Bucks will work it will make it feel different. There's going to be one hope spot that is going to be mesmerizing. You just know it. They're going to incorporate one here, probably with a Jungle Boy pinfall, where there's going to be a 2.999 that is going to be breathtaking. But yes, Young Bucks to retain. I don't think that's a problem at all with the various stories they've got going on.
I really wish. Like, they've got a seven-match card and they can't put the Lucha Brothers in some total banger to just remind people, oh, you know, it's happening on Dark and we're doing the thing that we do on Dark, which is fine. I'd rather that than nothing. But if you can make space for seven matches, at some point I would like to see at least one. They never did this with SCU. I would like to see, I did think, no, they did do it once, but I think by that time they were already number one contenders, which made it all a bit strange. I really wish they would just have a Lucha Brothers banger. I pitched actually on Twitter, Hanford hated this match. I adored it. Episode 4, way back when, Lucha Brothers versus Private Party.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely exhilarating. Do that again on Dynamite or Rampage, the TV shows that truly matter. But on this tag team match, the Bucks are going to retain. I don't think it's going to be that dissimilar to the All Out match in terms of the way it's worked, because if you recall, at that time, the Bucks were baby faces, but they were doing that, we need to find our edge back stuff ahead of the FTR match that, were it not for the great match itself, would have been a total disaster. People didn't like it at the time. But in the ring, they know how to play heel immaculately. They've got Jungle Boy, the best babyface possible to be the Young Bucks in front of, if you like. My only concern is that this is going to be like more fun than an actual top-tier Young Bucks match, purely because we've got seven matches. One of them is going to be a total squash, an in-action squash. But yeah, I'm expecting more banter than true heart and mouth. Jungle Boy's nearly there drama.
With that in mind, I just thought of a spot because obviously they love the Brandon Cutler spray. And I know he did it last night. I think it was last night on Dark against Frankie Kazarian. He accidentally sprayed himself in the face with it. Is there room? I don't know how you do this. Again, it's not my problem, but I'll just give it a sweet TK. But Brandon Cutler does the cold spray thing into Luchasaurus, who just sort of inhales it and then spits it back out at him. I don't know if that would actually work, or
probably not. He's not a dinosaur.
What? Well, no. Don't ruin the illusion for me. And also, the reason why Luchasaurus,
the sharper bit of Luchasaurus is Max popping a basketball, just throwing at him, just goes down and stays there.
And they could have Cutler with a spray can. They did a bit like this on Dark, where it's the wrong way around and it goes in his eyes. Marco Stunt could stand on his feet. And that could be the thing that this week goes, into his eyes.
Or that the cold spray actually does win the Young Bucks the match. And they can say, oh, there you go. That's what killed the dinosaurs, the Ice Age. So history repeats itself. LTST, ladies and gentlemen.
LTST.
Lucha Bros aren't there, of course, because of Andrade El Admino, who's still what are you doing? Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, Sidge. This is still going on. I just like you say, it does seem to have just been continuous. I mean, this week is different. Obviously, I think there's no other members of Team Taz. That's what Ricky Starks said. I don't know. I got lost in his eyes, to be honest, watching last week. But no other members of Team Taz will be there. This is Brian Cage's potential redemption. Or is it, Sidge?
I've got no idea. I've unprepared. I truly didn't know this was happening last week. I know they did an angle to build towards a match with no seconds, but I didn't know it was happening this week until literally 2 minutes before the podcast. So I've had any time to think about it really. I don't know what to think about this. And the fact that I'm not thinking and thinking and thinking about things to talk about, it means I can't really be that into it. I feel like it's pretty clear at this point that Brian Cage just ain't it as the babyface in this group. Like, he hasn't got anywhere near enough charisma, personality to be this sort of one-man wrecking machine. He's got the physical gifts to be able to do all the bits, like with the drums, with the celebration. But ultimately, you want to watch the babyface kick someone's ass. And I'd just rather, I think Team Taz are cooler. Like, Team Taz are cooler than Brian Cage. So the dynamic's been pretty... The worst thing is as well that they've put loads of thought into this as well. Loads of time and investment. And it feels almost like, there's a word we use in Gate said, shan. It feels pure shan, like unfair to bury. But you can put as much time as you want into something. If the execution and the feeling's not there, it isn't. Their first match was sloppy, but electrifying at the same time. I'm expecting somewhere in the middle for this. And if that seems like a boring prediction, I feel like this is going to be not that great. And I just feel like Starks is going to get the better reaction. It's Texas again.
Yeah.
What are they doing with Brian Cage here? That poor bastard. That poor bastard with really pretty bad opinions on Instagram.
Yeah, Starks is going to get an unbelievable response, isn't he? It's really weird, this. I think part of the problem maybe... there is an emotional disconnect, I think, with this rivalry at this point. Seems to me like they got to the point of the turn and then scaled back the importance of all of this. I'm reminded of that week when they had that quite strange and off-kilter earlier on tonight, but it wasn't on Dark, but it's not on Dynamite either. But it like, felt like it didn't exist almost. It was in this strange television hinterland. Team Taz was just here for some reason. Like, Powerhouse Hobbs was setting up the ring. And in the meantime, no, like, it was like, that felt strange. And then the whole thing's felt phased back. There's been weeks where, of all the things getting time on Dynamite, Ricky Starks as new champion or Team Taz disarray hasn't been one of them. Brian Cage just doesn't feel it. Just to sort of like mirror that opinion, he's never really felt that way. Other than I would say probably in the body of the Hangman Page rematch at Double or Nothing. Only in the guts of that did he feel like somebody that he thought, go on, then I'll get behind you. Like when this turn actually occurs. I don't think any point in the execution has this felt particularly hot. So maybe, I don't know, does Starks win tonight and that's that? I know that's a bit boring and a bit bland, but it feels like Team Taz desperately needs something else to do. And I know that's a bit harsh on Brian Cage, but it might be time to just like pull these characters away from each other a little bit.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You both have watched the Road 2. Brilliant. One of the best ones, in my opinion, actually. Watch it ahead of tonight's Dynamite on AEW's YouTube channel. Great build, obviously, to the Labors of Jericho and the tag team title match. It's a lovely segment, Hamfler, around Britt Baker and Pittsburgh and her becoming DMD. It's not a work, is it, that relationship with Tony Schiavone? He's there and they're throwing out the pitch at the baseball game. Just a really lovely moment. She's in action tonight. You sense, as Sid alluded to, it's going to be a squash match, but potentially, I don't know, setting up Chris Statlander next in line, perhaps, for that women's world title.
Yeah, it seems that way. Go out your way to watch that Road too. It really was fantastic work putting over the company's top heel. Couldn't love it more. fuck's sake, man. Like, I know we keep banging the drum. And I'm starting to see a bit of pushback on that opinion. That, well, maybe you can just have both. And like, maybe you can. Maybe she can be the most popular wrestler in the building and be involved in heel storylines and heel angles and work as a heel in her matches. Didn't feel that way at the end of a white hot rampage, did it? When you kind of did a heel beatdown and killed the whole scene. So I remain convinced that this is an act of stubbornness that I wish they would like walk back rather than just something that is this sort of grand plan. But to answer your question, yes, Statlander is the match. Yes, this will be a short squash. Yes, Britt Baker will get some of the biggest pops and still work and act and talk and look like a heel alongside Jamie Heater. But I don't know. I like
my dad talking about Jamie Heater.
I worry still about the Statlander match in the same way I did the Red Velvet one in terms of the dynamics, in terms of the realistic like ceiling of the quality of the match. Like I'll still campaign that it needs fixing until I guess the television show itself proves me otherwise. Mm. And Road 2 didn't help that either.
No.
She was great.
I do know what to expect from this, but I don't expect it to go down particularly well, given that Britt Baker is a heroic heel. This oxymoron thing is scuppering so much other than Britt Baker, and that's not good. The whole rule of a champion is, obviously you're a star, you draw tickets, you generate quarter hours, but you are meant, and this is maybe just my Bret Hart brain talking, but you're meant to hoist like journeyman, one-note characters, whatever, at your level and make them feel like relevant big concerns, even in this sort of drab parameters of 1995. I'm talking about Hakushi, I'm talking about Jean-Pierre Lafitte. In those matches, those people felt like concerns. In these matches with Dr. Britt Baker, it feels like she's looming over everyone and she's not hoisting anyone to her level. I feel like there's going to be a continuation of that. My doomy scenario for tonight is that she's going to dispense with someone within minutes, if even longer, just a quick lockjaw. Chris Statlander is going to be ringside, or she can emerge from the tunnels. And because there's so little time on this show, there can't be any big, long verbal interplay. She's going to boop Baker on the nose. Reba's going to do some wacky physical comedy in response to it. And people are just going to think that Statlander's a geek who isn't worthy of their support, much like Britt Baker is. This needs to be corrected. Like, I like very much watching Dr. Britt Baker, who is so entertaining and so good, be received as a star. Mm. Great. Who else is this benefiting? The answer at this point is anyone. And that's not what a champion should do.
This is the most WWE thing that AEW are doing. We love her. No, she's a heel. No, we love her. No, she's a heel. Ridiculous. But also, Tidge, we're getting two women's matches tonight on Dynamite. When Thunder Rosa versus Penelope Ford on at the last minute, at Thunder Rosa demanding the match against Penelope Ford. We've been singing the praises of Penelope Ford for months now, and this could be a real showcase for her against Thunder Rosa.
Indeed. I feel like I'm repeating this take, but it feels like another example of the two problems with the otherwise flawless pro wrestling promoter, Tony Khan, right? There's two issues with Tony Khan. One, he's an incredibly energetic bloke. He loves rushed dynamites. Certain things don't register or resonate as they should. He loves the feeling of live energy and chaos. This is why he can craft or like lay out these wonderful brawls and whatever. He's a great angle man, is Tony. This is going to feel like a pretty rushed dynamite. The other bad thing about Tony, it's not like he's a nice bloke. He's getting three Texas pops on the show in Texas on Dynamite. Like, is this one too many? Thunder Rosa versus Penelope Ford. Are we talking about Guevara or Thunder Rosa here?
I'm talking about Thunder Rosa. We'll get to Guevara in a second.
Yeah. So we've got Ricky Starks. He came of wrestling age in the Texas Indies, as did Guevara, as did Thunder Rosa. So he's getting three Texas pops. Great, but, you know, can you not get rid of one to get a six-match card? That's the perfect Dynamite one. So my worry is that this Thunder Rosa versus Penelope Ford match is going to be either Naunton or Summick, 5 minutes, which is a shame because Penelope Ford deserves way more of a showcase. It exists as, you know, just an excuse for a great two-hour TV show that doesn't feel like completely stuffed and rushed. There's one thing that could come out of this, and that is Thunder Rosa, who's had a recent win on Dynamite at the expense of Julia Hart, I think it was. I haven't got the rankings to hand, but Thunder Rosa and Chris Statlander,
1 and 2,
rising up the rankings in parallel. If they then have a match together, one, that would be class. Two, it would make you think, like, it's not just our challenger of the week. There would be like a real drama if Statlander and Rosa had a match. So if that, if this Thunder Rosa match functions to build Rosa versus Statlander, which lands your opponent at All Out, absolutely, that'll be great. So I'll be happy with that. But otherwise, it just feels like a match for the sake of a pop, for the sake of being nice. Be Ruthless is a better TV show than this potentially rushed one looks.
So, yeah, so Rosa is number one and Statlander is number two. So as you say, that's potentially primed for a nice number one contenders match, isn't it, effectively, you know, to leapfrog her in the rankings. I know they wouldn't do this spitefully, obviously. You know, they've shown in recent weeks, and we're going to get on Friday, just how awesome AEW are with hometown wrestlers. But what if Penelope Ford scores a huge upset win over Thunder Rosa to pull her below Chris Statlander in the rankings in what happened to Hangman Page with Brian Cage? And we all saw that number one versus champion match, and then it was ripped away. Thunder Rosa at the moment kind of is, like, while Serena Deeb's on the shelf, Thunder Rosa is the Britt Baker opponent, isn't it? Everybody wants the rematch. Everybody there's an assumed quality to it based on the quality of the first match. And she's made no secret of the fact that she's only been padding out these numbers because she wants to, like, get her hands back on Britt Baker and win the title. She's kind of walking around feeling like an uncrowned champion, effectively. So maybe, in an absolute shocker, Penelope Ford gets the win, and that actually permits Chris Statlander, for rankings reasons, to get that shot. Because otherwise, oh, I mean, I'm on board with the one versus two, but just looking at the rankings, it's interesting that she's kind of, and she's like, she's way out as well. She's 22 for two. So versus Statlander's 12 wins and like zero losses, admittedly. But like, I don't know. It's, you know, it's got us talking about the potential of contenders and using rankings as reasons for the, you know, they're not stories, but this is how you can sometimes use the rankings to make stories, can't you?
I mean, it is a story.
That's how Britt got the shot. So, you know, she had to get those wins to get herself up to get the shot in the first place. So, you know,
I mean, it's a story. The ranking system is an inherent story.
Yeah.
I like that idea, Hamper. I think I would still prefer Thunder Rosa, maybe All Out for Britt Baker, because that gives me the best chance of seeing a double turn, which is exactly possibly what we need, or the only way we're going to get Britt Baker the way we want to see Britt Baker, in terms of the presentation, at least from AEW. Sid alluded to it there, Hamlet. Sammy Guevara in action against Sean Spears, but he's also got a major announcement. Any guesses as to what that is?
Don't know. And I've been racking my brains all week to try and think about what this was. You know, there's not easy stuff, but there's things just like wanting a match. Maybe it's something to do with his status within the inner circle, you know, just like something about his own personal future going forward. But I'm gonna have to like throw this one to Sidgwick, because I kind of the fact that they promoted it in advance rather than having him beat Sean Spears in a fairly routine win and then going on to say, getting the mic and say, right, I've got some big news, and it becomes this big talking point, makes you think that they've must have something in mind. It's got to be sort of a long-term plan for this character. It's a selling point for sure. So it feels like it's got to be something a little bit bigger than just, anyway, check out my new YouTube show because Fuego del Sol's on it and we're going to celebrate it together or something like that. It feels like it's got to have stakes and ramifications. And I don't know really what's going on with Sammy Guevara beyond this, beyond the kind of the runoff of the Pinnacle stuff.
We've been talking off and on as and when the subject arises about who Miro's going to face at All Out.
Exactly.
This could be him challenging Miro. I don't think Guevara's in the top five of the rankings, but, you know, the TNT title exists on a challenge basis, if you like. They did a really nice job of making it sense when it has to make sense. And, like, even if Guevara's not the top five, he's not coming out of nowhere. He's just about to beat Sean Spears, one would presume. He's been spotlighted recently. He'd been screwed out of a big match by MGF. It feels like a star worth challenging for a secondary mid-card title, whatever you want to label it as. So that would be good. It's the perfect Miro dynamic. One of the better wrestlers to be able to work it. So potentially there's that.
And he is, of course, the Spanish god against the Redeemer. That's going to piss Miro off even more. So
there's stuff that can work with that. His character, probably won't be happy with the nature of the MJF defeat. And this match follows that particular match. It feeds in to Sammy Guevara versus Sean Spears, results from MJF versus Sammy Guevara, because Sean Spears screwed him out of it. They could circle it back and do a stepped up MJF versus Guevara, potentially. The first one went down so well. I'm leaning towards Miro purely because there are two things that need to come together at some point. Guevara's singles push, Miro's all-out opponent.
Before we conclude and get to the end of an era on tonight's Dynamite, Sige, obviously, as I said, we've got one eye on Rampage on Friday night. Are you expecting any teasers? Or I know you're hoping we don't get any announcements, but I mean, CM Punk is front and center in everyone's minds this week.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer, I love him. I do. I would not have the wrestling fandom, and frankly, none of us would have the jobs we do if it weren't for Dave Meltzer. But Dave Meltzer terrifies me with some of his bad takes, sometimes on Wrestling Observer Radio. Like, he was so high on Malakai Black, who, by the way, he'd feuded with online effectively, so he can't be biased. He was so high on Malakai Black after the Cody match. So, well, it's got to be the Kenny match. So he has got the wins, the two heels. It's not happening. You just like the match. That's what you want to say. He was saying that he thinks that they should announce CM Punk doing something at Rampage on Dynamite tonight. I really don't think so. Oh. I'm hoping he's just speculating. I'm hoping he's just providing his opinions, because this has been such an expert viral marketing campaign that actually saying the name at this point would ruin all the work you've done, the absolutely incredible work you've done to get the tickets sold, the number drawn, and the pop all at once. Because the beautiful idea of this viral marketing campaign is that you are letting people believe it, and you are trusting the audience to get it. Announcing it, bad idea. I'll take an all but confirmation, because everyone knows at this point. Everyone knows, but it won't feel real, and that's the genius. So my idea, purely because Darby Allin is still in the promotion for the first dance, I expect something CM Punk and Darby related to happen on that show. If following a very quick and hopefully very entertaining match against 2.0, Darby Allin grabs a mic, says something to the effect of, "I'm issuing an open challenge for the first dance. Everyone in this building right now, don't bother answering it. You know who I want. He's not here yet." And then you lights out, silhouette on the screen, some taped up wrists doing the roll for 2 seconds. Boom, lights back on. Booming chance of CM Punk. You know it's happening, but they still haven't said it. That's my idea. Because I'm thinking, does he do the match? We'll find out more, but does he work an actual match, or are people paying all that money for the pop? I would pay money for the pop personally, but I don't know what other people are thinking.
It is the equivalent of when they did that. Oh, can you hack the code? And it was like X+1, 2J. Well, who could it possibly be? It reminds me of that. Like you say, we don't need the announcement, Sige. Yeah, I like that. What do you reckon, Hanfler? Him saying, oh, Friday, was it 10 p.m. in American time? I never know what time.
10 p.m. Eastern.
Friday, 10 p.m., it's clobbering time. I'll fight anyone, sort of thing. What do you reckon, Hamlet?
It doesn't hurt, because they're going to want... ultimately, the ticket sales, it's sold out. So that's already guaranteed money. The pop is guaranteed. The one thing that... the only thing remaining that isn't guaranteed that proves that they've milked this CM Punk thing exquisitely is the rating. So it would make absolute sense for them to use their highest rated show, their flagship, to promote this further with the tease along those lines. I was thinking something just in keeping with the other ones we've had, to be honest. I was thinking Darby Allin himself doing the wrist roll, like as he warms up for the 2.0 match, in the much the same vein that like MJF nicked one of the lines from the pipe bomb. Those kind of teasers, you know, a wrestler using the Anaconda Vice, the go to sleep, perhaps, you know, similar. I know like in kind of AEW lore, that's associated as much with Kenta because of the Moxley feud, but it's... people know the CM Punk's move as well. But you could be ever slightly more overt to just ensure you get that awesome number for Rampage. He cracked that million or whatever that mythical target is. They've supposedly got a hit as a result. And I don't think I would promote a match. This is probably the older fan in me talking, but then AEW still have an old model in terms of pay-per-views. Like the pop in the appearance is absolutely enough, isn't it? You've got to sell the first match in X years at the pay-per-view.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's right. I wouldn't be surprised if Darby Allin wins and celebrates with a nice ice cold glass of Pepsi or so. They crammed enough bloody references in. Although he won't be celebrating, will he? He'll have to cut this promo about Punk to get his heat back, because tonight, Michael Sidgwick, is the last match of Sting's career, because he's going to get a taste. I love Matt Lee and Jeff Park. I think they've been fantastic. I thought they were brilliant on the road to Hamlet. You hit the nail on the head when we were chatting about it before. Just serious, but still boy poppers. And yeah, they're putting Sting down for good 20 years on after the last TNT match, Sidge.
I mean, I'll repeat this. I'm not even joking. As soon as I saw on the official verified All Elite Wrestling Twitter account, 2.0 here, and who wants a taste? I was like, right. If I don't, what's the point in going back to NXT? It's got to be the lowest rated podcast. We don't do 205 live content. So why are we doing NXT, especially now that they're not in it anymore? I say in a pamphlet, like when we were discussing this match getting previewed on last week's review, like, can you imagine, man, at the height of Sting being, oh, he's actually completely great. He doesn't get his interviews cut off every week. He's doing great stuff at Double or Nothing. Like, it's class. Oh, yeah, Sting's been working at Verizon on Dynamite in 2 months. So, right, well, Paul of X getting sacked. And it turns out, yeah, he is. Well, that's absolutely sick as well. The thing is, looking at the runtime, looking at how many matches are on the show, looking at how... This is such a testament to the way they've built Darby Allin. How far below, with all due respect, and I'll take a swing at you, I'm just saying, with all due respect, 2.0, like, right down there, like the quality at the role, but like, they're fighting 2 stars. It's going to be 5 minutes of great fun, and it is a little bit like Lush having Sting wrestle on TNT. Like, it is just really nice. And the fact that he's still, like, unbelievably, unfathomably great for his age is just going to make it all the better. Like, I think this is going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I watch it on various accessible channels normally when I watch Dynamite.
I watch it on Fight.
Well, exactly. I'm going to watch it on Fight because I guarantee they're going to bring Sting and Darby Allin out, and then they'll go to a break whilst they bring out 2.0, and I'll be like, well, I don't care about Domino's Pizza. I want to see what they're saying as they walk to the rings. I'll be watching that on Fight. But yeah, what do you reckon? Who's going to get a taste tonight, Michael Hamlet?
Well, I'm just going to have to correct my esteemed colleague there. I never normally do this. He said that Everise are going to be fighting 2 stars. They're not. They're probably going to be fighting 3, because I imagine Jumpin' Jeff Farmer's going to be hiding under the ring, ready to do the switcheroo halfway through as the cheating bastards try and get a win over the good guys. I did a bit of homework on this. The last time Sting wrestled on TNT, Nitro did a 3.0. Now, I'm no scientist, but that's one better, lads. I'm sorry, like, we love them, but I don't think they've got a chance. This is going to be an absolute blast. There have been some truly great AEW match graphic reveals in this company's young history, but this one might have been my all-time favourite. I cannot wait.
Yeah, you two are going to be sat there in December going, oh, it's been a lot of good matches on TV this year, and I'm going to be there just tapping at the window. What about when 2.0 fought Sting and Darby Allin? I was writing about a few more Kenny Omega. Yeah, but when you got a taste. Can you just leave us alone? We've got lots of work to do.
Imposter NWO Sting Jeff Farmer isn't the same as Jumpin' Jeff Farmer, is it?
No, don't think so. They called him that in the the backstage promo. That
is Jumpin' Jeff Farmer still alive?
I did ratings homework. I did not do Dead Wrestler back checks.
Because if they confuse the imposter Sting for another Jeff Farmer and have a double cameo, a double taste, 2.0 Jeff Farmers, 2.0 Jeff, 2 Jeff Farmers. Come on. Think about it, lads. I really want this to happen.
Just as if I couldn't get any more excited for Dynamite tonight. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us, of course. You can follow Michael Hamflett, who'll probably be staying up because he's an idiot, at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at...
You can follow me when I bury Roman Reigns and things don't go my way at M Sidgwick.
You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from. Our NXT review is available right now. And of course, our review of this show will be available tomorrow, as well as the preview of Rampage and the review of Rampage and all the excitement and all the fallout from that as well in the coming days. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from for that. But for now, this has been the AEW Dynamite preview. My thanks to the Daddy Boys. Thank you for joining us. RIP Sting, and we will see you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.